Haynes's mayor is back home after a hospitalization, and some buildings in Fort Seward are getting a facelift. It's a KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. Haynes Mayor Stephanie Scott is back home in Haynes after more than a week at a Juneau hospital. Mayor Scott was medevaced from Haynes nearly 2 weeks ago with an unknown illness that wasn't helped by a bout of pneumonia. Scott returned to Haynes over the past weekend. She writes by email on Tuesday that she is feeling better. Doctors determined she has a cardiovascular issue that causes fluid to build up, although her heart is strong and undamaged. She said doctors are sending her to Virginia Mason Hospital in Seattle for additional tests in a few weeks. While Scott said she is trying to schedule her trip to Seattle around borough assembly meetings, that has caused her doctor to raise her eyebrow at the mayor. Nonetheless, Scott says she is concerned about two actions taken at the last assembly meeting she missed because of her hospitalization. The first, she said, was the ordinance changing voting procedures to account for if candidates get less than 40% of the vote. The ordinance has adopted last week reads that votes cast shall be determined by the number of voters voting. Scott said votes cast should be determined by marked ballots, not by a count of people who came to vote. She is also concerned with the reconsideration of the temporary use code that calls out yurts as temporary buildings. She said she finds that ordinance too restrictive. It's being taken up again by the assembly at the next meeting. Scott said in those two cases, she will either ask for a reconsideration of the vote or exercise her veto power at the next assembly meeting on September 24th. After receiving only four applications for the Haynes Police Chief position, the borough reopened the recruitment period. That second period closed last week with an additional 12 applications. The pool of applicants is all male and comes from a variety of states and backgrounds. One applicant currently works with the Afghan National Police in Kabul, served with the United Nations International Police Force, and was chief for 23 years in Ocean View, Delaware. Another applicant from South Carolina currently serves as an elected county treasurer and has a master's degree in public administration. Other applicants include officers with Alaska experience, including one who served as police chief in Cordova, and an applicant currently working as an officer in Sandpoint, Alaska, but who used to be police sergeant at the Haynes Police Department under Chief Greg Goodman and, for a brief time, Gary Lowe. The four applicants from the first round of recruitment include one local resident and current interim chief, Simon Ford. Borough manager Mark Ernest said Tuesday he wasn't sure if he was going to get to hiring for the position before his last day on the job on October 15th. Normally, the applications would be discussed by the Haynes Public Safety Commission, and the group would forward recommendations to the manager. But the commission has not been able to convene a quorum at its last several meetings. It is currently looking for several new members to join the commission. As for the borough manager position that Ernest is leaving next month, that recruitment period is open until October 3rd. Ernest said the borough has received applications for the position, but information on those won't be released until after the 3rd. A big run of coho salmon in Southeast means commercial trawlers have an extension of the summer fishing season. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game has announced a 10-day extension for the troll fleet, with fishing to remain open through September 30th. Fish and Game is projecting a coho return of 5.7 million fish this year. Patty Scannis is Fish and Game's troll management biologist for Southeast.
Both the wild projection and the commercial catch are, you know, definitely above average, well above average, second only to 1994. And that was the year when the coho run was the largest on record. We don't expect that our harvest this year will come close to that in 1994. During that year, we had higher effort, and we also did not have trawlers targeting other species, such as chum, for part of the summer.
The record commercial catch for all gear groups in 1994 was 5.5 million coho. Fish and Game projects the all-gear catch this year will hit 3.3 million. Skana says coho landed by the troll fleet are average size this year.
Unlike the most recent years where they were very small, the coho average weights have increased steadily throughout the summer, And right now, let's see, they are, that last week's average weight was 6.8 pounds, and the average price was $1.90, and both have gone up steadily throughout the season.
Trolling was scheduled to close on September 20th, but the season can be extended if enough fish are making it back to spawn. Coho haven't been the only target species for trollers this summer. The fleet harvested over 1.1 million chum salmon this year, a new high mark for troll-caught chums in the region. The summer also saw a directed pink salmon fishery in Lower Chatham Straits, with a small portion of the fleet targeting humpies.
Over a five-week period, they took close to half of the total taken for the whole year. So far, trollers have caught about 684,000 pinks, and so roughly half of that, or close to half of that, was taken during the 5 weeks in Lower Chatham.
Pink and chum salmon are typically lower value and higher volume fish targeted by the region's net fishing fleets. However, the record-setting pink return, strong coho numbers, and healthy hatchery chum returns have helped make up for the troll fleet's normal target catch, king salmon. The summer season had only one short 6-day opening for Chinook salmon at the start of July, the fewest days open for king fishing since 1992. The fleet will be able to keep king salmon again starting October 11th with the opening of the winter season.
Fort William H. Seward is a collection of 17 historic buildings that are essential to the rich heritage in the city of Haines. On the east side of the parade grounds, there once stood twin buildings, the barracks and the commissary. They provided rooms for over 200 enlisted men and a lead-lined icebox to keep goodies like ice cream and beer cold in the summer months. One of the buildings burned to the ground in 1981, and the only part still standing is the stone ruins of the foundation. The other building remains and has recently undergone some renovations. Annette Smith from the Port Chilcoot Company gives us a look inside.
This is the Enlisted Men's Barracks building. It's the biggest building on the fort.
Built in 1902 under the quartermaster Wilds P. Richardson, Fort Seward was declared a National Historic Landmark 70 years later. According to information from the Sheldon Museum, this fort was to be the Army's show of strength in Alaska.
Clear lumber and the good construction that went into building this.
The foundations of all the buildings are cut from granite by Italian stonemasons. Pine boards and cedar siding make up the structure of the walls. Solid and strong enough to house hundreds of soldiers in its heyday, the building has taken a beating by the occupants and the elements.
It got a bad reputation. Everybody thought, oh, that building's going to fall down.
The Army sold Fort Seward to private investors in 1947, who had big plans for what could happen here. Since then, many structures have been purchased, renovated, and turned into usable buildings with a purpose. The Halsingland Hotel, Alaska Indian Arts, the Fireweed Restaurant and Dijon Delights, plus several private dwellings. What is the Enlisted Men's Barracks building going to become?
I think everybody in town has an idea of what barracks could be and should be.
However, Smith wouldn't say specifically what the barracks are slated to become or the amount of money that the renovation will require.
Board of Directors of Port Chilcoot Company decided to give it a facelift.
There has recently been a crew of workers busy taking down large red brick chimneys. There is much work yet to be done, but the memories that the barracks building hold are priceless.
Place we used to roller skate. And we'd race around here and wing around the poles.
Though many of the windows have suffered vandalism, Smith has come up with a creative window covering idea that comes with a call to the artists.
We'd love to have other artists in town volunteer to take one or two windows and make a little scene of what might have happened here in the building during the military days.
So far, there is an off-duty soldier kissing his girlfriend and a white-shirted recruit playing a clarinet. Then there is a painting of a fully uniformed soldier on the first floor emptying a bottle into the waiting mouth of a black bear. Smith told the story of how the enlisted men had got many hours of entertainment playing with the bear they called Three Purr. How did she get that unusual name?
It's because she liked 3% beer and ice cream.
That would be Justin Swinton, one of six people who have taken a moose this season. According to Fish and Game on Tuesday afternoon, six moose have been taken since the season opened on Sunday. Three were a three-brow tine antler configuration, and three were spike fork. Moose season runs through October 7th. We'll try to bring you daily updates of the moose count. For KHNS News, I'm Margaret Friednauer. Special thanks to Olive Del Sol and Joe Vicnicki for help with this report. Don't forget to join us Thursday at 10 a.m. for Talk Around Town with host Deborah Schnabel. This week's topic is the Haines Ballot Initiative on Corporate Personhood. She'll also check in with Haines Community Education Program and meet one of our neighbors on Hey, Who Are You? That's Talk Around Town this Thursday at 10 a.m. on KHNS. Thanks for joining us for your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.